Welcome, everyone, to the Workforce Navigator podcast. I'm Steve McDonald, your host. Today, we've got a super interesting guest. We have Bindi Dave. And Bindi, you are the Deputy CISO at DigiCert. And we're going to talk a lot more about your technology, your cybersecurity background. In particular, your perspective on why the relationship with HR and talent acquisition and creating the right company culture is so important from your point of view. Obviously, you have a lot to worry about other than talent and HR acquisition, but it's a big driver in the business. And so you look at yourself as a partner with the HR organization, and we want to unpack that in a big way. But before we do that, I would love to learn a little bit more about you. You have a very, very creative side. You're a certified yoga instructor and actually helping people deal with their emotional traumas they have in their life. You've helped family business start out the cosmetology business, attended a culinary school. You paint on a regular basis. I would love to know a little bit more about Bindi before we get started and then dive right in.
Sure. Thanks, Steve. Thank you so much for having me on as well. I'm excited for this conversation. A little bit about my background. We came to the United States when I was about 4 or 5 years old, and it's really a coming of age kind of story in a different type of culture, but they were pretty adamant to acquire skill sets, have certifications, acquire skill sets, as opposed to doing some sort of job. So throughout high school and throughout my college, I was in cosmetology to help my mom grow a couple day spas outside of the Chicagoland area. Even before that, my parents were into flipping hotels and motels. So I did everything on that front, from inventory management, room assignments, to price setting, et cetera. And then somewhere down my career, after I got into cybersecurity, I burnt out pretty heavily. And I was living in San Francisco. And at that point, I said, I'm done with corporate. I'm going to go take care of myself. I need more tools in my tool belt to balance the stress that I experience and make sure I stay whole at the other side of it. So I got certified in yoga, everything, prenatal, postnatal, children's yoga, restorative. And I still teach today, more so kids that are having connectivity challenges, behavioral challenges. So a lot of different areas. I think cybersecurity in the business environment allows me to really hone in on my tactical, strategic, technical side. And then on the other side, I get to be artistic and creative in my personal time.
Well, on the side of this podcast, I have to ask you your opinions on goat yoga. My family, we have a little 15-acre farm and we have 11 goats, and I've never understood that concept. So that's for another discussion. But here's what I'd love to do. The idea here is that there is a big connection, a big opportunity between HR and the entire rest of the organization to help the company grow, creating high-performance teams so the company can do exactly what it's set out to do and create long-term sustainable growth. So I'd just love to hear just your opinion on what do you think your relationship or the relationship that you want to have with HR and why?
Sure. So I'll break it down into this concept called a golden triangle, which in cybersecurity, it's all these domains that you need to not only be aware of, but then be able to protect. And if something along those protection lines breaks, you need to be able to respond, right? So when we look at HR, that's human resources. When I look at the golden triangle, that's our people, our processes, and our technologies that I have to secure. Well, humans, people, I feel like now we're talking the same language, right? So from that perspective, I think that the relationship between many areas of the business, but specifically cybersecurity, since that's the one I'm coming from, really important. Not only from how we onboard talent into cybersecurity roles, whatever that means for the business, but also how we retain that talent through the life cycle of that employee, that even on the off chance that something nefarious is identified from the people or the human perspective in a cybersecurity capacity, HR is going to be our front line of partners that we will reach out to if we're doing a cyber investigation for an insider threat or some capacity like that. So across all of those domains through the life cycle, I think that partnership is critical.
There's the typical partnership where, oh, we have an open role, right? Or we have somebody that has questions about benefits, or we need to let somebody go, so we have to involve HR. How does the relationship that you just described there, how is it at a different level? Like, how is it beyond the traditional interface that we have? Kind of when the need arises, we talk to HR, right?
Sure. I really love the concept of HR business partners. I don't need our business partner to know very intimately what our domain area does, right? Cybersecurity is vast, it's ever evolving, it's changing, and can be technical and complex. But with that relationship, if I take a step back and say, okay, we're talking about the talent acquisition from HR, I feel like HR is our front line of interaction, our front line of talent attraction, right? As the hiring manager, I will say, I need a security automation engineer or a security engineer. Now that, depending on the company that you're at, depending on the role, depending on the team, could mean 100 different things. The security engineer at DigiCert may not be the same thing as a security engineer at Acme for whatever reason. So with that, if I have a talent acquisition partner, that we have an operating rhythm that kind of high level understands, okay, Bindi's remit area is establishing the security program. So she is going to be looking at all areas of cybersecurity. So since she's looking at a security engineer under this specific manager, this manager does security operations under their belt, then this is probably going to have some sort of engineering work for incident response. Just high level, right?
Right.
Don't need that in depth. But at that point, my partner and I can have that discussion of what I'm looking for in that role, why this role is important. And then they're the front line that's going to be attracting that talent and having those discussions and screening folks. Also helping the rest of the panelists and myself just be more efficient with time when you have all these candidates applying for these roles, especially given how hot of a topic cybersecurity is these days.
But yeah, absolutely. In fact, you read my mind, because there's so many different roles today where there is a talent scarcity, right? There's not an overabundance of highly qualified people. So a part of the role of HR together with you is being able to attract the right talent and have something even beyond compensation, because it can't be all about how much we pay. This is where we start to get into this area of culture, right? As an attraction model, as well as a retention model for employee engagement. And we all know more engaged employees make more engaged and happier clients and help grow the business. In fact, we've had a gentleman on the podcast here who was a PhD in HR and actually proved that, correlated that directly. But tell us about how attracting, in a market of scarcity, attracting the best talent, how they help you do that.
When we're looking at these cybersecurity roles, I have a few roles that are either open or opening right now. So in this time and space, there are supply and demand. There are, I think, more folks on the market, very talented folks, and there are roles out there. But at this point in so many of our careers, we are looking for the culture of the organization and the culture that is made up of the people. You'll see the companies that have mission and value statements that don't actually live by those values, right? When I was previously interviewing for myself, I would ask the HR person or the recruiter, how long they have been at the organization, what keeps them at the organization, how they feel that the company is aligning to its mission statements and its cultural values. And that's a really big indicator on whether I will progress with that role or not at that organization. I'm a firm believer that people don't leave organizations, people leave people. And when we look at that component and there's a role open and that candidate is applying for that role and HR is their first contact point, that candidate will be asking questions like, is this a net new role? Is this a backfill? What is the culture like? Because it's a bi-directional interview. The candidate is also interviewing the company and the HR person is the first representative, right? So I think HR has a super important role there in setting the tone for how the rest of that experience and conversation will go for that candidate as they go through the onboarding process. And frankly, if they will end up taking that offer, should one come, to then become an employee, it's heavily on the initial experience through the interview process.
I've asked this question of a lot of folks recently, actually, from non-HR talent professionals, chief revenue officer, chief marketing officer, that came on the podcast. And I asked, what do you think is the percent that you would apply to the company culture in terms of how much it's helped support the overall success of the business? And I've had two different CMO-CRO combinations come on, and both of them said, I think it's responsible for more than 50% of our success, our company culture. What do you think about that? Is that a fair number? Do you think it's way too high, way too low? And what does that make you think?
I think that's fair. It might even be on the lower side, right? Because when we look at culture, we're pulling on what it means to be human and what those emotional, those connective tissue strings are. Work is tactical. It's a little harder, right? And then you take the human element of it. And that culture is what keeps folks working together, keeps folks interested in achieving the overall mission of the organization, right? So if you have a leadership team that's very transparent, that celebrates the wins as well as the negatives, promotes a culture of learning, then that provides safety for the humans and being able to learn through mistakes and take chances and be in a higher reward pool. You're building those relationships and that connectivity. But then on the other side also, I think there was a study I read somewhere where if you take a highly effective rock star person and you put them next to an underperformer, that rock star will actually degrade their performance by at least 30% to meet the other teams. But if you take a average performer and put them in a team of high performers, their performance will actually increase by around 70%. Speaks to culture too.
Absolutely. That pinpointed so well that we are a product of our environment to a large degree, but also a lot of the conversation is revolved around if we know we have each other's back, if there aren't as much of these territorial, but we're one company, one go-to-market strategy, and this is what we do, and we're all here, even outside of the technology team, the HR team, the marketing, the sales team, the ops team, we're all on the same team. And if there is a culture that we all support each other, that, again, safety, security. We never want to be on a losing team, right? So we're on a great company, a team that we enjoy the people. They've got our backs. We support each other. I respect the people that I'm with. Didn't you tell me when we were preparing for this that you actually had turned down jobs because you just didn't feel good about the company culture?
I have, absolutely. Like I mentioned, interviewing is bidirectional, right? Company is interviewing me, whether I can meet the objectives that it's looking for. And I'm doing the same thing. So I'll tell you, quite frankly, when I'm interviewing for these executive roles, there's a different level of conversation I'm going to have from the folks that are in my interview panel versus I will have from the HR coordinator or the talent acquisition partner that is filling for this role, et cetera. So I want to understand how cybersecurity reaches throughout the organization. So I will actually, HR person is a great line of connection there, but they also need to be cognizant of the security aspects of their role too, right? So there's the culture, there's the security, there's the overall onboarding feel, but I have turned down roles just because I didn't think that in that bi-directional capacity, it would have been a successful relationship.
You're really talking about the experience you go through as a candidate. Like we all think as organizations about what's the kind of experience we're creating for our clients. And McKinsey even did a whole big study and it showed the most profitable companies were the ones where the biggest differentiator was the experience of the customer. But you had a thought on the importance of the experience of the candidate. And that we need to be thinking, and just as we're proactive in every aspect of our business, why wouldn't we be proactive in creating the proper experience, the onboarding for the candidate themselves, especially if we're investing in people, and the people is what drive the business. So this idea of the experience of a candidate, is this another area where HR plays a tremendous role of organizing all those touch points? We talk about customer journeys and things like that, but there's an experience or a candidate journey, and there's got to be somebody that's thinking about that entire experience and helping manage and coordinate it. Is that one of the big things that you value from working with a good HR talent person?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you look at that overall journey, and I want the best talent on my team. So the HR person and that talent acquisition partner is my left hook for that conversation, for lack of better words. But I do need them to manage the process. So I need to have confidence that they are going to excel throughout that candidate journey. What I mean by that is when that role gets approved by FPNA and I am getting ready to post it and I've created the requirements and the job description and all of that, there is a connection point with the talent acquisition partner where we interview, get the basics or the background for that role, and then they go do their process. But I continuously have communication that tells me where we are with that process, how many candidates we have in the pipeline, where the overall interviews sit, to getting the candidates themselves interviewed. They have continuous communication on what's as appropriate, on where they are throughout their candidate journey. And then throughout my hiring journey, I have continuous communication. But we also had scheduled debriefs to discuss the candidates. And it is manageable, right? So from a candidate journey perspective, coming from an empathetic position, it shouldn't take 100 interviews and 2 years to get through an interview process. I understand selection is important, but at the same time, we have to be cognizant of the other side. But at the same time, we want to make sure that our internal aspects are ready to onboard that resource. And I think HR has a tremendous role to play in ensuring that overall candidate experience and the hiring manager experiences is as best as can be expected.
There was a story talking exactly about what you're talking about. CHRO said one of the biggest gaps in this candidate experience is when you make somebody an offer, right? Hire managers, like, we made the offer, got accepted. They're starting 3 weeks, on to the next thing. Covered, right? And now there's this 3-week gap where they've given notice at their old job. Their old job is maybe potentially trying to keep them. They're getting zero communication from us, the company that just hired them, and they're thinking, is it still on? This is like one of the most important parts that we don't think about, right? It's almost like the customer journey. It doesn't end with a sale, right? It keeps going on. So I love your thinking about the entire experience and how important it makes. And if we really put a little bit of thought towards it, we can probably be leaps and bounds better than any of our competitors. And it becomes a part of that culture of taking care of us before we've even started on day one. Everything is part of that experience.
Yeah. I think one of the challenges that I've seen, thank you for raising that, I would love to see more from HR organizations in that post-offer acceptance portion of the candidate journey, yeah. Right? So to your point, the candidate has given their 2 weeks notice. They're wrapping up at their other job. They may still be trying to be retained. And then there's no communication from the new place that they're going to. There's their start date. And then it's on the hiring manager of, okay, this is what our onboarding plan is, or mentor, or what have you. But that connective tissue, I think, is an area that I would love to see that partnership strengthen in.
This goes to the next area, next question I want to ask you, which is, within this candidate experience and overall culture, you're a C-suite individual, right? So as a leader in the organization, you've got a lot to say on company culture. HR can absolutely be, like you said, like a lead in helping us manage our company culture. But really, the culture isn't owned by HR, right? And it's not even owned by leadership, right? Every company has a culture, whether you define it or not. But what do you think of the leadership role? You're a part of the leadership of the organization. What is your role in particular as a part of the leadership in helping establish this culture, this employee engagement, even during that onboarding process? What's your role in all this?
Yeah, you're right. HR isn't accountable for the culture, right? And it's not even executive leadership. It is every single person that is at that company is an ingredient towards that culture. So they're responsible. But the hiring manager, I would say, is accountable to ensure that that is maintained. So at DigiCert, for example, our values are super clear. We're obsessed with our customers. We continuously learn. We have a set list of criteria. And one of the things that I do is during each performance review period, I ensure that I performance manage and critique each of my team members against our values, right? It is our job that now that these folks have onboarded and they've got an introduction to them, that we are really fostering and growing and nurturing that to be experienced by all other members of the team throughout the life cycle of that resource.
I love it. Because the fact that you have company cultures, a culture isn't different, or even values isn't different. But sometimes that can be just a page on the website, a plaque on the wall, right? But you're actually using it for accountability. You're using it in your training. It's an active part. That's one of the biggest parts, I think, of being a leader in the organization is deciding what we want our company culture to be. And then being an active participant in it, holding people accountable, not in a punitive way or anything, right? You've got an 8-year-old kid, I've got 4 teenagers. I know if you don't manage it, right, it's going to go off the rails.
Absolutely. And I think the other part is when we bring in these resources, we trust them, right? So you have 14-year-old kids. I have an 8-year-old kid. We have to trust and empower them. So another thing that I do, and I will always, I feel like, do, is if you're in my organization, on my team, we work in sprints, and within that, in your retrospective, the teams are self-governing, but I want their retrospectives or their lessons learned from that sprint to be anchor on the company values. So at that point, the team themselves in order to help themselves are coming up with what went well and opportunities across that 2 week period that they can then enact into the next 2 weeks, right? So it is that continuous learning, that continuous iteration, but it doesn't have to come from me. I am accountable. They are a self-governing team. That's why we brought in the talent that we did in the first place to continue fostering this.
I love that. You put the system into place, but really the culture belongs to the people in the organization. I have one last question for you. And we've talked about a lot on the podcast, but if you had to distill it down into one takeaway that you wanted people that were listening or watching here to take away from what we've been talking about here, what would be the most important thing you'd want them to take away?
I would say that in every organization, there are different pillars, whether it's marketing, sales, your revenue generating, your cost centers, your people management, et cetera. It is important, and this might be from a cybersecurity lens, but to build connective tissue between each of those areas, because every ingredient is needed in a successful story, successful implementation of cultural values or drivers or goals, et cetera, or in a Gen AI space and post-quantum computing. And we should also evolve into our thought processes of what certain areas of the business do versus others, and be open to building that connective tissue.
No, I love that. Thank you. And Benny, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all your perspective. It is so helpful to hear from leaders in all different departments of the organization by how important the people are, the engagement strategies, the culture, onboarding, how that affects talent acquisition, retention, and then success of the business. So it's very helpful because there's a lot of HR organizations out there that are still trying to advocate for themselves, right, and their role. And you've helped that in a big way. If people had questions, would it be appropriate we gave out a link to your LinkedIn profile so that people could reach out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always a resource and happy to help. Feel free to reach out.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for coming on today. This was fantastic.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, Steve.